Good evening, Damon.
Hey, Pastor.
How are you?
Yes, sir, how are you?
Very well, sir.
Good,
Sitting here doing
very,
some
very good.
writing. Yeah. What have you been up to?
Not now. Just living my life. Just living my life. Yep.
You've been doing what?
Living my life. Yep.
Oh, living your life.
Yep.
There you
Despite my
go.
situation and circumstance and everything, I'm still loving it though. Every single day. Yep. Gotta make the most best of what I still got left in my life and stuff, yeah, Pastor.
Absolutely. You have to get the most out of what you have.
Yep, I do.
That's very well said. That's very powerful. Hey, Sister Hawanda, God bless you.
Yeah, bless. Hey, greetings, everybody here.
Yeah, agreeing. It's just you, I, and Dewan thus far.
Okay.
Dewan, you want to say hello to Hawanda?
This is Sister Wanda.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing pretty good, sister. Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, Dewan was just saying. I'm sorry, go ahead, Wanda.
I was just gonna say he be sounding better and better, clearer and clearer. You know, I
Thank you.
remember when it was hard to
Hallelujah.
understand it. I just hear him sounding clearer and clearer.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, he was just talking about he recognizes that despite whatever situation he's in, he has to get the most out of his life and learn to enjoy and maintain some joy in it, and that's powerful.
That's a
Yeah.
word. Ooh-wee, yes.
Ain't that a word in season?
Man. Oh my goodness.
Well,
Yes. That's very
you got so
powerful.
many. Yeah, you got so many people that are ungrateful and got everything working for them. You got other people who don't have half as much, and they're finding ways to get as much out of their life or more than most people who have things that they need. But that, gratitude is powerful.
Yes, it is.
How's your week been, Sister Wanda?
It's been amazing. It has been amazing. And I really love that I be having Bible study on Tuesday and then going to our life study, on Wednesday. So I be getting full.
Yeah, you over ate, huh? You got enough
Yes, sir.
to last a while. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So how was the Bible study? What was the topic?
Bible study, I did Matthew 6. I did Matthew 6. Brother Collins, I believe, I forgot where he came from, and then there was another lady that came along with us, that do outreach ministry with him. So that's why we, and it was really just so good, just watching the glory of Yah be revealed through the kids, and then how we were just, the testimony was how I believe that prayer has set that atmosphere, because we don't, the kids' behavior is totally different. They so thirsty for the word by the time we get there now. Like, the staff is starting to say, oh, they ready for church before we get there. And it's really amazing that these kids, I see them. One young man, Holy Spirit had me to tell him, because every Bible study, what he was doing was somebody was calling him. The first two times, the first 2 weeks we was there, he would get a phone call and he would be like, nope, reject the phone call, like I'll call them back. He would not allow them to interrupt Bible study. His mother was sent on her way back there to visit him while we were on the way in the door yesterday, and she was already saying that he said if he's already in Bible study, she already know that she wasn't gonna be able to visit him, that she was gonna have to leave.
So where is this being held at?
At the jail, at the downtown
detention facility.
Yes, sir.
Got it. Yeah. So you all do Tuesdays at the juvenile detention facility.
Yes, that's what we go every Tuesday. I go every Tuesday and do Bible study at the juvenile detention center.
And yeah, does it take place at 6 o'clock?
Yes, sir. 6 o'clock.
Okay, so it used to be Pastor Jose had that.
Yep, he was going. Burnell was the one that introduced them to me, and that's how I started coming along. And then something happened. They ended up doing a background check on Burnell and said that he can no longer come, but I've been still going ever since then. And Pastor Jose has been going in a minute, but yeah, it's been me and Brother Collins that's been consistently going now. It's just us two.
Well, praise the Lord. Look at that. God always has a ram in the bush. Praise the Lord. I used to go and do it. I did it for about a year, year and a half.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, maybe and about 15 years ago.
We used to have to take them out for one-on-one because they would be disruptive. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say I don't feel like, you know, because all the time it's not the same kids. So I was just testifying to the new sister that Collins had brought along. And I was like, I believe the atmosphere is set because we pray. We really pray before we go in there. And I see it's been effective for the staff. They join in, they ask questions, they give testimony, you know. So it's like this, it's even being impactful for the staff as well.
Wow. Yeah, God is amazing. What an awesome, wonderful, marvelous God he is. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Take
I'm going to give it about 3 more minutes. And if we don't have people that join, we're going to go ahead and get started.
All right.
So you're doing the Bible study on Tuesday. And you read from Matthew the 6th chapter?
Yes, sir.
Okay, through the whole 6th chapter or just parts of it?
I always start from the beginning, too. Like, you know, I love that you had said that, too. So it's not like a verse that I go and pick after. Every time I've always given there from the when I first started, I would always start at whatever chapter and at the first verse and work my way down. And if I don't finish, I'll go back and finish, you know, next week or go. But I don't. I always start at the first letter.
So you're getting word into them, right?
Yes.
And the Bible says that the word of the Lord cannot return unto him void, and that's why it's so important to read word, right? You can always pick 2 or 3 verses and, you know, kind of build a message around that or a point or subject matter or context. But when people have word in them, that word comes back on them. They'll be sitting in the middle of something, and all of a sudden that scripture show up, and they'll go, oh, God just talked to me. I better stop, right? So I thank God that you're being diligent like that, right?
Oh, glory.
So thank you.
Yes.
Yep.
The honor.
And it's what now?
I said it's an honor and it's a privilege that I don't take lightly because. You know how it is dealing with the youth and the younger youth. Like, I could just keep on really talking about how, you know, even kids are like, even from what you had talked to me and sister, look at her name, gonna draw a blank in my head, but we've still been talking and discussing a way to get that together. But it was almost, to be prepared for life to. Like iron sharpens iron, where it's not like me and her running something, but that we all get that opportunity so we can all grow in the areas where we feel that we need to be strengthened in, whether that's taking turns praying, taking turns with the word, or we were going to start with the women in the Bible and then just do the research in with the women. But we were going to, what we were saying is we was going to give, instead of us doing it and doing one at a time, we were came to the conclusion that we can allow every woman to pick one. And that's
yes,
the person, the discussion, you know, come out of fear, they can grow in those areas. And, you know, so that's what we were kind of discussing to start off with. And then actually after that, to just be Holy Spirit led, you know, once you do that and we get the niche and what we're doing, we know, can discern the need for what's next.
Well, we praise God. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God you are. It is 5:40. Hey, DeJuan, you want to open us up in prayer tonight?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Dear God.
Yes.
Everybody on earth, to believe in you and by your word and everything like that, Pastor. Guys, this world is going crazy right now, Pastor. Minnesota, the mass shooting in Minnesota too, just recently, yeah.
Yes,
pray for the families who are in Minnesota who were affected.
Yes, God.
Violence need to stop. We are people, y'all humans and stuff, and we gotta go crazy. You know, I just like to pray that we are human beings. We all got one goal, to serve you, God. You know.
Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Ooh, glory.
Is that everybody be safe in these coming days. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Awesome job, DeJuan. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and I had that on my mind. I heard the news probably about 2:00. I think it was Brother Paul Smith called me. And I couldn't pick up because I was doing my work. And I called him back in a few minutes, and he says, yeah, I'm doing something now, but you got to see what's happening in Minnesota. And I looked at the news, and my heart just dropped.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it just falls out of your body. 20, something like 20 kids shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
By a person who is under a spirit, obviously, an evil.
Yeah.
You know, evil gets to work on us. The more hurt and pain you carry, that's why God, that's why Jesus talks about forgiveness. When we read the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to start with that for everybody who wants to get here. Sister Itina, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Hello, Dr.
So, you know, it carrying pain was not the design of God.
No.
That was the design of Satan, right? You'll see it if you read the book of Genesis, and you see what he did with Eve, because how Satan captured Eve, I believe, when I look at that scripture, I read through it and I study it, I believe that first thing he captured her with was she felt alone. Adam was someplace naming the animals. Adam was someplace killing the ground. Eve was someplace without a lot to do at the moment. Satan took that loneliness. I believe he took loneliness. I believe he took that separation, that feeling like you're not cared for, and he utilized that to cause her to see God in a very, very different way. And he even used the word of God in order to get her to see God in the wrong manner, because he asked her, did God say that if you eat from this tree, you shall surely die? And she said, yes, that's what he said. And Satan told her, well, that's not the truth. Satan knew, because he was an angelic host at one time before he got cast out of heaven. He knew that scripture was speaking to a spiritual disconnection. He knew that. And he utilized the physical lack of her lack of understanding of spiritual things in order to draw her in to the next step she took when he said, well, he lied to you, because if you eat from that, you shall not surely die. In fact, what will happen is you'll start understanding things just like God, and you'll find yourself equal with him. And so, and I'm saying all that because a lot of times I believe that, I mean, we all get hurt. All of us are dealing with pain. All of us are dealing with, you know, people that don't quite appreciate us sometimes. Or even if they do appreciate us, they don't know how to tell us. And more often than not, their actions sort of imply that they don't, even if they do, right? But their actions, their lack of attention, their lack of being concerned with the fact that you don't feel good today, and instead of them going, is there anything I can do, they just go run on about their day like your sickness meant nothing to them. It's really easy to get emotionally distressed in this world, in this time. And so going back to the people in Minnesota, you know, they said that the person's name was Robert, but he wanted to be called Robin because he was, you know, he wanted to be a she or whatever it was. But that was emotional distress taking place inside of that person. And anytime there's enough emotional distress, Satan has the ability to come in through that emotional distress and create havoc through the soul that he's working through. That's why it's so important that we always have time in prayer with God and spend time even talking about what hurts you. Not just what I want, but to spend time and say, even, you know, God, my kids, they get on my last nerve. I don't know always how to deal with it. It becomes overwhelming for me. It's because you're getting it out. And as long as you get it out, it cannot sit inside of us and fester because we're all human, right? And so it's very important to know, like Jesus said, If you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven won't forgive you yours. So it's very important to know that while I'm talking to God about how they're treating me, I also have to let God know, but I forgive them. I'm going to let them go, though, God. I get it. They're not where I need them to be. They don't understand what they're doing. Just like Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Right, his very final words before he gave up the ghost, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because most people don't know that they're hurting people. They don't even know that they're crossing boundaries in our life. Right? You like your room a certain way, and somebody comes in, messes it up, doesn't clean it up, you're a little upset. And you have the right to be, because that's your boundary, that's your stuff, that's how you keep it. And but knowing how to approach that person and deal with that boundary circumstance is so very important, because if you go to them the wrong way, then something that was small became large. My wife was telling me the other day, as an example, my wife was telling me the other day, our neighbor was cutting his grass, and he feels like when we cut our grass, we cut a little bit of his. So he started going, okay, I think this is where the boundary line is. So he cuts, and he cuts all the way over to where he believes his boundary line is. So a guy came to cut our grass, and my wife said, all right, cut all the way over to that because our boundary line really goes further. And I said, no, don't do that. And he said, well, your wife said this. And I said, I heard what my wife said. I'm saying to you, don't do it, because the cost of one extra inch worth of grass to create a bad neighbor is not worth it. Because either way, the grass don't care who cuts it.
No, man.
Does everybody hear what I'm saying? The grass doesn't care.
Right.
The dirt doesn't care. That's me attaching something to that little 1 inch of extra territory.
Yeah.
That's my yard. I want to attach an extra inch of territory because it's my yard. And the man believes that inch belongs to him. Who cares? Because until you sell the house, none of it matters, right? Unless something, now if he builds a fence on your yard, then you got a problem. Let's go, we got to go look at the property. You follow on board? Because now that's a real encroachment now. You can put a fence on my yard thinking it's your yard. Now we got to go through some legal things. But for something as simple as a piece of grass,
leave it alone.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Why in the world do I care? Because once the grass is cut, it's going to all be the same size anyway. Everybody's cutting it three inches. So just cut it 3 inches. It doesn't matter whether you he's already cut it for me.
Thanks for cutting my inch. You know, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Are
you hearing me? Right? Praise the Lord. And the reason why that's so important is because many of us have gotten into arguments over who took out the garbage.
Come on.
When I could have just took the garbage out and been done. I didn't have to argue with anybody. I can forgive you, take the garbage out, go on about my day and still have my peace. And that garbage really was not as important as I thought it was. Some of us have gotten into arguments about who washes the dishes. Right?
Yeah.
But I can tell you, if I'm ready to eat and the dishes ain't clean, I'm washing dishes. I'm not going to go get you when you know your responsibility and you didn't do it. What I'm going to do is go and do it myself. But when it's time for you to need something, you're going to come back to me, and now we're going to have a conversation about the dishes.
That's right.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Your battle, our battles, yes.
Right, and so fighting battles is a very important thing, but knowing how to fight them is way more important than fighting them.
Yeah,
I got to know where the win is, and I got to know how to win, and I got to know when I win. I can now shut up. I don't have to keep telling people, "Well, I told you I was right. I told you I knew that." See, I told you that so many times. That's not winning.
That's
wanting to be right.
Mm-hmm.
That's wanting power and wanting somebody to sit back and say, yeah, you were right. I should be listening to you. That's me wanting power over somebody. If a person gets what I want them to get, the battle is won. I'm through right at that moment.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let me go on and take my peace with me. Praise God. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Right? The 13th chapter. And we're going to read about some things that I think is very important about just what we just got through talking about, because we're talking about battles, how to win them. But Paul is going to be talking about in the 13th chapter, this should be intriguing for everyone, because we just read through 12, and Sister Hawanda took us through that, and she talked about the gifts, right? Some have the manifestation of the Spirit. Some people will have the gift of healing. Some will have the gift of different diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in the way they're going to be administrated, but they'll come from the same Lord. There's going to be diversities of operations. They're going to do things differently, but it'll still be God doing it. It's going to come from the same Spirit. Somebody's going to get the Spirit, or some will have the Spirit of wisdom. Some other people may have more knowledge than us. Some may have more faith. Some may have more, right? Some may have the gift of healing. I don't get to do that. They get to do it. And then we talked about, you know, don't be envious of those gifts. Learn how to connect yourself into those gifts so that those gifts are operating for you and with you. But if we become angry about some gift somebody has, then the gift is working still, because God ain't going to take the gift away because I don't want them to have it.
Right.
So now the gift is not working with me. It's working away from me now. Amen. And so Paul begins to share all this about these gifts. He talks to us about being one body. And now he gets to 13 and tells us how, and I want you to read 12:31 before we go into 13 and start reading, so we can set up the context of this properly, right? The context.
Yeah.
Paul is talking about these gifts. He's telling you these gifts belong to you, and you can have one. You might have several. You can have them all. And he's getting ready to tell us in 13 the foundation for actually having all gifts. There's a foundation for it. Because God does not gift who he can't trust.
Come on.
There's no sense in me giving you $100 and sending you to the store if you have an addiction. I can't trust you with the money. There's no sense in me giving you the keys to the car to go pick up the kids if you're blind.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense. You can't even see why you want to drive. And so God is a God who has the ultimate level of wisdom, and he knows where our hearts are. That's why he speaks to us about being a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. He knows where our hearts are. Our lips can say anything. Our brains can think anything. But your heart, though it's deceitful, it'll never lie. Because your heart will make you do some things that your brain and your mouth said, I'll never do it. Let me try it again.
Yes, sir.
I opened my mouth and said I wouldn't. I thought about it, knew that I wouldn't.
Yes.
But then my heart kicked in, and there I go doing it.
Yep.
So that's why the book of Proverbs says the heart is a deceitful thing, but it's a very honest thing. It'll make everything in your body function a certain way, whether you think you're going to do it or not. And so God knows that. He discerns, meaning he's reading past our words, past our thoughts, right into our emotional structure and our truth center, which is your heart. And Paul says this about that whole gifting process. Sister Angela, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Hey, everybody.
He begins to talk about this whole heart thing, and he talks about it in a different way. 13, does anybody want to read? And we want to go through it and stop and talk about it since we don't have a lot of people. We have time. We don't have to get a lot out in a short period of time. We can stop and talk about it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and the understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing.
Maybe let's talk about that. Right? Can you see the connection first? Watch what he says in verse 12:31. I want you to see it real good. Because this word is always associated with sin. Yet in this particular scripture, it's not. Watch it. 12:31. Everybody see it? You got it, right? You're looking at it, right? Coveting. Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet all through your Bible, every time you see that word, thou shalt not covet that neighbor's wife. Don't covet that neighbor's things. Don't covet, don't covet, don't covet, don't covet. Paul comes around and says, covet this stuff. And covet, does anybody know what covet means?
To desire.
Anybody?
To
desire it? Okay.
To desire is the greatest gift.
To desire, okay. Anybody want to add on to that? What is desire? I mean, desire is just to want something, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Have you ever wanted something so bad? Let's say you go to a car lot. Let's say you look at a brand new car. You say, I really like that. I'd like to have that car. But do you see yourself in it? Like when you sit down in the car, do you just look at the dashboard and go, oh, that's nice? Or do you have a little moment right there where you even kind of go, man, people are going to see me driving this car. It looks right the car. I'm going to look right in the car. You know, do you ever see all of that taking place too?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till mama sees me. Right?
That's right.
You already imagining when you get over to your to some of your family's house, they're going to say, girl, you got it. That car. You see all of that, right?
Are you still worn out now, huh?
You see all that, though, right?
Right.
That's what coveting is. Desire is right to want something. To go to a place where you actually see yourself in something. I see me with this gift. Not I just want the gift, but I see myself. I can see myself standing behind the pulpit, preaching, laying hands on some folk. I see the gift. I see myself being in circumstances and praying for people and watching them be healed. I see myself having so much faith that when I speak a thing, the thing shall come to pass. I don't just want that gift. I'm seeing what's going to happen when I get it. Mm-hmm. People are going to respect me. People will begin to understand me. They'll love me. They'll admire me. They'll know me. I'll get a reputation. Oh, that's coveting. Mm-hmm. Everybody get that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is saying, you need to be in that place with these gifts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't just want to have faith that moves mountains. You need to see yourself as faith that moves mountains.
That's right.
You need to see yourself as a person with the gift of laying hands and seeing people healed. You need to see yourself with wisdom that people come from miles around to hear. You need to see yourself with knowledge that you could sit down with anybody, regardless of how intelligent or how smart or how much education, that they can't outfox you and they can't outwit you because you got so much knowledge that God has given you. And he's saying, I want you to see it in you. I want you to see how people will treat you when you get it. That's how bad I want you to covet. He says, but covet earnestly. Want it badly, the best gifts, and yet show I unto you, watch what he says, a more excellent way to get them. That's where he's going. Now he says, verse 1 and 13, though I speak with the tongue of angels, tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but if I don't keep the love in place, I'll just be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I might have the gift to prophesy into people's life, can I share something about the gift of prophecy for us?
Yes.
I want you to practice this one. I want you to practice it. If you're living a holy life that you're pleasing to God, you know, and when I say holy, I don't mean you are absolutely without sin. You're absolutely perfect. I don't mean that holy. I mean that you know you're covered in the blood, that you know it's Jesus' blood that makes you righteous. And yes, I may have a mistake, but I know how to repent, get back on my pony, and ride back into the presence of God the way I'm supposed to. That's a holy life. That's a holy life, right? And so if you live in a holy life, I want you to practice this. Because most people think the gift of prophecy comes from the gift of being the prophet.
It's not.
And it doesn't. The gift of prophecy is you can speak a thing and God will honor the thing you spoke and it'll come to pass. That's why it's such a blessed gift. Listen to how he speaks on it. Pay attention to it, please. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and don't have love, I'll be a sounding brass, tingling cymbal. Watch what he says. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all the mysteries. See, the gift of prophecy is about the mysteries of God, knowing that if because I'm God's ambassador, let's say everybody knows what an ambassador is, right? So let's say they make me the ambassador to Africa. Mm-hmm. So as the ambassador for Africa, I have the authority to speak for America. And if I say to them in Africa, we're going to bring ships and we're going to bring you some food supplies, we're going to invest $25 billion into your economy, the government is going to do it. Why? Because I'm their representative and they sent me specifically and purposely to bring about results in that country. Therefore, what I speak, what I say is going to happen, has to happen.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
so
the Lord.
The gift of prophecy is when God has selected you as an ambassador, and when you speak to people and you say God is going to bring you out of something, God is listening to what you spoke and saying, I need to let them know that that's one of my children, so I'm going to honor that spoken word in their life.
Yes.
Amen.
So that they'll know that there's a God in heaven and that that person is connected to me. That is why churches, anybody getting this? This is why church is such an important element in our life. And this is why you can go in church and someone pray for you and those prayers begin to happen. Because they are utilizing the gift of prophecy. You speak something that God is listening to and saying, I'm going to honor it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If I caught that, amen, I hope somebody gets it, because if you get that, you'll recognize you have the four P's as a responsibility even in your household. Four P's.
What's that?
You are the prophet. You're supposed to be prophesying over your children.
Okay.
You're the pastor because your house is always your first ministry.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're the protector because God is your covering, and while God is covering you, he's covering them.
Yes.
You're the prayer warrior. Four P's. You're the prophet or the prophecy maker. So when you start speaking into your children's life, oh, you will end up, when God gets through with you, I can't wait to see you end up with your college degree.
Yeah.
That's why we need to talk about this. I just read through it. Right?
Well,
you have the gift. If you are living a life sincerely anchored in God, he wants to use your mouth the right way instead of how Satan has been using our mouths the wrong way.
Yes.
He wants you to learn to prophesy and speak into people's lives. You'll live and you shall not die. Prophecy. God is going to do something amazing in your life. I don't know if it's going to be this week, next week, or the next 3 weeks, but God is going to show up and do something. You just prophesy. And God heard you prophesy. And God is going to let that person know, that was my ambassador, my emissary. That was my words coming out of their mouth. And what they spoke, I'm going to bring to pass.
Amen.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because most of us don't prophesy. Watch what Paul says. Let's keep reading. Maybe it'll become a little bit clearer, and I may not be explaining it as detailed as I would like to. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand this mystery, you've read the word all, and I understand the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all this faith so that I could remove mountains, but I don't have love involved in it. So love is the foundational ingredient by with which God trusts us to give us gifts.
Yeah.
Not in love, not I'll do anything for my kids kind of love. He ain't talking about that love. He's talking about that I'll do the same thing for your kids that I would do for my kids out of love.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. If I cook, I'll cook for my house and your house if you need food, kind of love.
Yeah.
Because loving our own is not the love that God is waiting on from us. It is the ability to reach beyond ourselves. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I have to learn to reach beyond. Because one of the things that God can't stand is a selfish believer.
Oh,
ooh, come on.
That's right. Amen.
Won't share nothing. Won't go out there and share their faith. Won't go out and share what God is doing in my life to people. It's one thing for me to go around some people and go, God is good. It's another thing to go around some people and say, I got to tell you, about 5 years ago, I was so broken that I was literally not only using drugs, I was sleeping with every man or every woman on the planet. If a leaf moved a certain way, I got horny. Oh, by the way, I lied 14, 15 times a day. And I did this. And then I found the Lord. And something happened. And all of a sudden, I went to tell a lie, and the lie wouldn't come out. Something convicted me. So when I'm talking to you, you'll know as I speak, everything I'm saying to you is honest because I'm telling you what I used to be, and now I'm telling you what God has done in my life. I'm telling you that I had some problems with my family, right? And I was scared to death. I was messing that up, and they were messing me up, and then I found God. See, that's sharing.
That's right.
That's sharing.
That's
And when people hear that and they receive from that level from you, you have the gift of prophecy. Because now you can tell them, and I can see God doing it for you.
All right.
Yeah.
And you just spoke change into it. Anybody getting this? And now you just spoke change. If you're not careful, you can get into the religious concept of God and the religious concept of church. And you'll be the person running around telling people they need Jesus and won't even tell them how you had to get Jesus. You won't tell them why you needed Jesus yourself. You're too busy. You need Jesus. And the Bible says you ought to do this. And the Bible says you ought to do that. No, I need to tell them why I do this because the Bible has taught me to do it. But what you do is you. You want to stand on the roof and jump out, that's you. You want to go get you an airplane and fly over a desert and jump out on a parachute and land in the desert and spin around in circles, praise the Lord, that's you. But I'm only telling you I'm living by this book because this is working for me.
That's right.
Nobody wants something that don't work.
Come on.
Does that make sense?
That's right.
So let us keep reading. And so I'm just trying to say, I want you to practice your gift of prophecy. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are his, instead of saying to your children or saying to your friends or saying to your husbands or your wives, you need to get better. Start prophesying and saying, I know what we're going through right now, but I can't wait till God finishes up with you. I know you're going to be powerful. I know you're going to be awesome. I know God is going to turn you into the most awesome husband, wife, or whatever it is on the planet. I know by the time you grow up, son, I know God is going to turn some things around for you. I know you're going to get rid of all of that anger. I know. And God can work out from your prophecy.
Yeah.
Let me keep going.
Okay.
Right? So he goes on to say, but it's got to come from love.
Yeah.
God is going to make it happen.
He'll make it happen, and he wants you to speak for him because you're an ambassador. Right? We are ambassadors with Christ. That's what your Bible says. We are ambassadors with Christ. You want me to show it to you, or have you read it?
I ain't read it yet.
Have you read it? Oh, okay. No. Right, well, let's go look at it so we can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
I want you to know it yourself. You are an ambassador. Same thing I just said about being an you are an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes,
take your Bibles.
Yes, sir.
And go to 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20.
Amen. Yeah. You said 5:20?
Mm-hmm. 19 and 20, you'll see what I just said. It's just as plain and clear.
Yes,
if you connect this with that. Watch what he says. Verse. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I better do 18 so you catch it all. And all things are of God. This is Paul still talking, writing. And all things are of God who reconciled us. He's turned us over to himself through Jesus Christ or by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry to reconcile issues. Sunday we talked, God called you to win wars, not lose hope.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was the title of Sunday's message. To reconcile. That means to turn it around. Reconciliation. Fix it. You have power. So he says, has given us the ministry, the servitude. That's what ministry means. A servitude of reconciling things. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. Turning it around. Unto himself, not even imputing, which means blaming, their trespasses on them anymore, and hath committed unto us the words of reconciliation, prophecy. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did bring you about. By us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. So he's saying, if you are completely reconciled over to God with your life, your mind, your heart, your money, your finance, your food, your everything, if it's all reconciled, you've given it all back to God because you know he gave it to you, right? Your mind, your body, your heart, your thoughts, your life, your death. All that's reconciliation to God. When you know God has the expiration date on your life, you know that, right? That's reconciled. So you stop worrying over death.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the minute you stop worrying about death, you actually begin the process of living.
Come on.
Because as long as you fear what's going to happen next, you're not living, you're figuring out how to survive something. You're figuring out how to get through it. You're figuring out how to get around it, over it, through, under it. You're just trying to figure it out. But the minute you stop figuring it out is the minute you begin to live. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You begin to actually live. They can do what they want to do. I'm living. I don't have any control over them. I'm alive. I can't make them do right, and I can't make them do wrong. I'm alive because I stopped. I'm reconciling me, and I'm making this personal between me and Yahweh. It's me and Yahweh through Yahshua, Christ Jesus. I'm reconciled now. And so I stop worrying about whether there's going to be food on the table because I know I serve a God who refuses to not let me eat. I stop worrying about whether the bills are going to be paid, and I start functioning from a place of I know he called me to work. I'm not lazy anymore because he reconciled even my laziness. He reconciled, I hope you get it. He reconciled even my lethargicness. He reconciles my thinking I'm not so smart. He starts making me smart. He reconciled. That means everything is now turned over to him. So everything that's turned over to him automatically becomes excellent And once it becomes excellent, it becomes an ambassador.
Yes.
Did everybody
yes.
see it?
That's right.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So I'm an ambassador now, right? And Paul is saying, if you want to be a good ambassador and you want to receive these gifts, he's saying, seek these excellent gifts. Get them. Envy them. Go ahead and have them. Not envy them. He's saying, covet them. Well, you got to want them. You should want to be a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, or an evangelist. You should want it. You should covet it. You should see yourself as it. You should be moving in that direction. But if you're moving in that direction for the power rather than because you have enough love to know that people are suffering and they need you.
Come on.
They're suffering and they need you. See, if I go after the power, then I'm Dr. James Edward Monroe III. When you talk to me, you say doctor.
Nothing.
Or pastor. I'm the pastor here.
Right.
That's when you're seeking power.
Mm-hmm.
When you seek servitude, you don't care if you never get a title because you got the gift. Ooh, mm-hmm. somebody.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You don't care if you ever get the robe.
Mm-hmm.
Glory.
You got the gift.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Glory, glory.
If you were
glory.
The smartest person in the world, you'd yes. build a school and give people caps and gowns, but you wouldn't need mm-hmm. a cap and gown because you were smart enough to give them the cap and gown.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Come on.
You mm-hmm. were smart enough to build the school.
mm-hmm.
You were smart enough to hire the teachers.
That's right.
You were smart enough to interview the professors. You were smart enough to set up the classrooms. You were smart enough to put the chairs in place, the tables in place. You were so mm-hmm. smart, you set the strategy on what the tuition was going to be so you could make all the money in the world while you're giving people caps and gowns.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need one.
Come on, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody receiving this? I mean,
yeah.
Really, are you actually getting it? This, when you reconcile, you just give God everything. And I know a lot of times we go, well, I'm trying it. And I know there's a lot of people who will sit back and say things like, well, that's easier said than done to give them everything. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier done if you don't talk about it. It's so it's easier done than said, really. Because the more I talk about it, I just got to get better. Then I'm not mm-hmm. doing it. Because every time I say I got to get better, I'm saying I ain't going to do it. I'm prophesying over my own disobedience. Well, I don't know. I might get there one day. That's prophesying. I don't know. I ain't quite there yet. I'm prophesying. Oh, well, you know, there's sometimes people just get on your nerves and you got to say certain things. That's prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you speak comes to pass. Oh, glory.
Yes,
what
I
you
do.
Speak. Anybody getting it? Praise the
yes.
Lord.
That's why
we so when we think about that, that's why we go back and you hear him say death and life. Aware?
Mm-hmm. In the power
what
of the
death and life. What did he just say? You're mm-hmm. prophesying your
yeah.
own destruction.
Yeah.
Or you're prophesying your own ascension.
Mm-hmm.
What do you speak?
Therefore,
why do you speak it? Yeah, glory to God.
Yes, right.
Why am I saying it? Am I saying it because God told me to say it? Am I saying mm-hmm. it because I'm trying to speak something in that God wants to bring about?
Mm-hmm.
If those two things ain't happening, I'm probably prophesying in the wrong direction.
Mm.
I can sit back and say to my wife, you know, honey, you should have washed my clothes. You didn't do that. I'm actually prophesying.
Right.
You know how you can tell it's a prophesying? Because while I'm saying that, I'm speaking on my aggravation and what's making me feel down.
mm-hmm.
You didn't do this. What am I saying? I don't think you love me is what I'm really saying. I don't think you cared enough for me to do this. I don't think I'm really prophesying because it's coming back into my spirit. Don't you? Because don't you know everything you speak comes right back into your own ear?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to them, but it's coming back at you.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so when I start saying, I can now say, and here's where the love comes in there, if I don't have love. I can say, honey, I wish you had did my clothes, but I took care of it. Why? Because I long forgave the fact that you didn't do it and I didn't hold it against you so I don't have to beat you up with it.
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't have to beat you up with that because that was a beat-up attempt. When you start throwing what somebody didn't do, you are slowly but surely trying to beat them up and beat them down.
Yep.
When you could have just prophesied, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Is there anything I can do for you? And you might get them to understand, oh, wow, and they still did for me. Maybe I should have did that. Next time around, I'll make sure it gets done and nobody said anything negative.
You helping me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's keep going. So we just talked about that. We talked about being reconciled. We also talked about you are a what? What are you to God?
A prophet. A prophet.
You have to get, not a, thank you. Let me go back. You're an ambassador.
Oh, ambassador.
Right? There's a difference between a prophet and prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
You have prophecy in your house. The prophet is a little bit different. That's a calling specifically by God for the church. That's what a prophet really is. It's a calling from God specifically for the nation of God's people, because that's who Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of them, when God spoke to them, he went and said, tell all the people they sinners. Tell all the people they need to turn back to me. Tell Israel it's whoring right now. Tell Israel if they don't turn around right now, I'll have the cankerworm come and eat them up. I'll have them take everything. I'll have them put up under bondage. The Bible says, God said, I'll do nothing in the earth. Let me make sure you all see this so you know the difference between a prophet and prophecy. Prophet and prophecy. I'm going to find it. There it is. Without informing. Give me 1 minute.
Yes.
See it right here? Amos 3:7. Go to Amos 3:7, everyone.
Who?
Is that? Who?
Amos. Amos?
Oh. Okay. Amos 3 and 7.
In the book of the prophets, we'll start right after Isaiah, Jeremiah.
Okay.
Where's Amos hanging out at? We go visit them. When you have a say, man, let me know you found it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go to that book often, do we?
No.
Nope.
We over here.
You said 3:7, right?
Yeah, Amos 3:7.
Amen.
Got it?
Yeah. I got it.
Right? Somebody read it.
It says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
See it?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He won't do nothing in the earth without revealing it first to his prophets.
That's
so
right.
So the prophet is supposed to be the person that God gives the information to, and then the information is supposed to be disseminated unto the nations. Now, you can have the gift of being a prophet, and I can tell you, here's how you'll know you have it. If you have the gift of a prophet, you will be hearing God saying, I'm sick and I'm tired of what the people are doing. You need to talk to them. You need to tell them to repent. You need to tell them to turn back to me. You need to be out in the streets. You need to go out there and let the world know I am displeased. You need to let them know it is for this very same reason that I destroyed the earth and got Noah to build a ship because of the same evil. That's how you know you'll have it, because you'll have a burning in you to tell the world to get it right. It'll be a burning inside of you. It'll give you sleepless nights.
Yeah.
He'll wake you up at 3 o'clock quite frequently, like he did all the prophets. Them 3 a.m. let's talk moments with God. You feel like, why am I up at 3 o'clock? That's him trying to talk to me. He needs to get to me. He needs some time when I'm by myself and I don't have nothing on my mind but him. Praise the Lord. He'll have those moments, and that'll be how he develops the gift of prophet into a person. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, let's go back to where we were. We were in 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's continue to read, please.
Okay. It says, and if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. He gained nothing through this. If you boast, you go out and talk about it. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful, is not ignorant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a recording of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for a prophecy, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to the end.
Okay, that's big. Whoa, wait a minute. That should be something, somebody should be going, what does that mean? What did he say?
He said,
right? go ahead.
Mm-hmm. When the perfect comes to the end, he said the partial will come to an end.
All right, let me read it again. Now I want you to listen because you read. Thank you. Now I want you to hear. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna start at verse 4. Well, I'll start at 3. Where you started at. And though I bestow all my goods, I will give them all away to feed the poor. And though I give my body, even to be burned. Yeah. In other words, I'm a martyr. And have not love, it's not gonna profit me anything. Love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't envy anybody. Love does not vaunt itself to make itself bigger than folks. It ain't puffed up. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Listen. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Now watch this. If I can be in love with someone and have tons of arguments with them. That's unseemly. But that's because it's a different kind of love than what God is talking about through the scripture. The love he's talking about is an agape love, which is a selfless love that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with wanting people to find God. Agape doesn't keep records of wrong. Agape won't go unseemly. Now, how do I do that if I'm in love with somebody and they're doing all kind of stupid, crazy stuff and they're bothering me and they're messing up things and they're not paying the bills, so forth and so on? Well, that's a little hard. But if you compartmentalize them and recognize that love is my eros love, my attraction to the person that's making me feel that. My agape love is only attracted to the person's soul. So even though I can be angry with them, I can have enough agape to still want to win their soul over to Christ. Praise the Lord.
Good.
But you have to be able to compartmentalize. You have to quit, you know, and I hope and pray that I'm explaining this right, Holy Ghost. You have to be able to recognize like how people will prioritize tasks in their life. I have tasks, you have tasks. Should I take the kids to the grocery store or should I take the kids to school right now? Or should I go and get gas and come back and get the kids? Because if I carry the kids right now, I don't know if I've got enough gas to go to the school and then to the gas station. The gas station is a little further away than the school. And so if I do both, I might end up with stuck someplace. So I have to prioritize and say, okay, how do I do that? Okay, I need to go get the gas first, come back. I got plenty of time. I got a good extra 10 minutes. I can come back, get the kids. They'll be dressed. That gives them the time to put on all their clothes, make sure the teeth are brushed, make sure this is done, so forth and so on. I come back, pick them up, put their stuff in the car, get them to school. Everything's on time, and I don't get stuck. Right? So when it comes down to our walk in the Lord, he's asking us to prioritize agape over every feeling that you have.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to learn to prioritize the agape. It belongs in front of everything, not in back of everything. You know, once you make me happy, I'm going to give you a whole lot of agape love after that because you've been so nice to me. Now, I got to give you the agape love no matter whether you're nice or not. And then after I've given you the agape and you know that I love you sincerely and I love your soul, then I got to tell you what you're doing so that I can make sure you get the point. But the point is not going to keep me from loving you.
Yeah.
The point ain't going to make me divorce you.
Yes, right.
The point ain't going to make me run away from you. Oh, glory. So this love he's talking about that releases all of our gifts is agape. If I don't have agape, then I'm just a sounding bell and a tingling cymbal. Because you'll see that, praise the Lord, I think you'll get this and you'll understand this because you've seen it. You've seen it in people sometimes in church. They talk about God, but they don't show you love.
That's right.
Amen. Anybody seen that? I've seen it. I'm a witness.
Yes.
They talk about God. They know scripture. They may even have some giftings. And that's what Paul was talking to. So this is what he's speaking to. He's saying, yeah, but if they don't have the love, they're just gifted, loud folk.
Yes. Loud ain't saying nothing.
Ain't doing nothing.
Talking loud, ain't saying nothing. And the part that you'll always have to be careful and cautious about is they may know more than you. And that's the part that really is difficult as the sheep of God. Because you know Jesus knows he made a sheep, right?
Yeah.
He knows he made a sheep. How do we know that? Because in the book of Matthew he told the apostles this, he said, I'm sending you out in the world as sheep. Amongst wolves. You're going out as sheep, and you'll be hanging out with the wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent, which means you don't have to outsmart the devil because he's always around. But just be gentle as a dove. Got it?
So, yes, sir.
We're sheep, and so as sheep, we choose to be led of people that know the Lord. So do I.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. I have mentors. I have people that know the Lord that I talk to, I listen to. They can advise. They can give instruction. They can give me correction if I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But if I don't know the difference between someone that's smarter than me and someone that loves me,
mm-hmm.
then I can get myself messed up. Because they could be correcting me for their benefit.
Yes.
Come on. Sermon, come on.
Yes.
Are we hearing that?
Oh, yeah.
Praise God.
Yes.
So this is what he's talking about. It's agape that's important. If that person doesn't have agape, I don't care what gift they have. I don't care what degree they possess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what's Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Brown University. The whole nine yards means nothing to anybody if you don't have love.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Everybody got that, right? And so Paul is making sure we understand the church functions in that manner because, I mean, how many jobs have we worked at and we've made people that own the company millions of dollars, but they never shared any with you?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you have all that knowledge
mm-hmm.
and no love for anybody.
And
you
no
got
love.
Yachts, you got planes. They got preachers out here with jets
mm-hmm.
who have people in the congregation that don't have lights.
Come on.
Ask Kenny Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Creflo. And there's people in that congregation who don't have lights. And if they come in and talking about, I need some help, they don't necessarily bring them in and go and sit down and observe and say, okay, I see what the problem is. We're going to help you with the lights right now, but we're going to help you with your bigger problem. You're still lazy. You won't work. We need to teach you a work ethic. You still have some problems with managing money. We need to teach you stewardship. You have some problems with investing. You're getting money, but you're spending it instead of investing it, so nothing's coming back to you, so you don't have financial growth. You don't have this happening. You don't have that happening. That's coming. That comes from agape.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's all about how much you put in, and you don't get nothing back,
mm-hmm.
it's gifted, but it's not agape. Anyway, let me keep reading. So he talks about it. He says, "So your gifts that God is he has that he wants to distribute, or wants to increase. Because many of us have gifts already. You should know that you have them. You are special. You are wonderfully made. That's why God called you. And and I think sometimes we forget that part. And I hope and pray that before we leave off this meeting tonight." I pray that you take that with you tonight. If you don't take anything else, if these are too many words, not enough words, please take this word. God is not stupid. God
no,
is not
sir.
Adultish. God is not forgetful. And God is not foolish.
Mm-hmm.
So if he called you, he didn't call you by accident. He called you by providence. If he called you, he called you because there was something so wonderful about you that you may not know it yourself, but he knows it because he formed you before you entered your mother's womb. So he knows what's in you, but you don't know what's in you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't walk away with anything else, you should walk away with the idea and the understanding that if he called me, there's something in me that maybe I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't perfected it yet.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason he called. Something is in me. Something great is there. And let me search. That's why Jesus made sure he said, when you take the bread and the wine, examine yourself. Because if I don't examine myself, I'll never find the gift. That's why he also said, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. that the excellency would be of God and not of man. When you find the treasure, you're going to fall on your face. You're going to start screaming and shouting. You're going to give God a praise that you never knew lived in you. If you just find the gift, the reason that he called you. He didn't call your mother. I wish you ought to hear this. It wasn't your cousin he called. And call your husband or your wife. And call your friend. He called you.
Yeah.
Why? So if you take nothing else, after we finish up this scripture, if you don't take anything else, take that thought with you tonight. Why me, God?
Yes.
Why me? Who am I to you? Like the like David wrote, what is man, God, that thou art mindful of him? What made you mindful of me? You could have left me out there in the streets. You could have left me. I could have got caught up with the drugs in my pocket and be sitting in a prison penitentiary someplace for the rest of my life.
That's right.
I could have went to that party that my friend got killed at, and I would have been there too. But something told me not to go that day.
Yeah.
I could have been in that car. That I heard about that had the accident. I knew the people. I know them. If they'd have came by my house, I probably would have been riding with them, but they died in a car accident, and I didn't. Why?
Yes.
Glory.
Amen.
And then we begin to recognize that there's a gift there someplace. That God is saying, If I could get you to see it and get you to work on it and get you to perfect it and get you to study to show yourself approved so you can become a workman rightly dividing the word of truth that needeth not be ashamed, you're going to know why you. Oh, glory. You're going to see why you. You're going to touch souls, touch lives, touch hearts, touch minds. You're going to touch some folks, some stuff will change in their life. You'll see it change. You'll know why. He calls you. You'll walk in this thing. You'll live this thing. You'll love this thing. You'll take them for the thing. You'll know all of the hell you've been through has been worth it. Why me?
Hallelujah.
Let's finish up tonight.
Okay.
And so he said in verse 9, I want to hit that. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which was in part shall be done away with.
Mm-hmm.
And all he's saying is when you begin and allow yourself to walk in perfect agape, everything that you're seeing wrong, you'll see it right. Because the only reason that I have trouble in my life is because I'm seeing things the wrong way from God. Because could see it the right, oh, glory, somebody, please. If I could see it right, I would know how to fix it right because I'm an ambassador. And if I haven't fixed it, it's because I haven't quite seen it yet because I'm still seeing in part because there's still blind spots in my eyes from pain and things I haven't forgiven, I haven't let go of, I haven't grown through it, I haven't accepted the fact everybody was crazy. They weren't after me, they were just after anybody. They weren't doing me, they were just doing. They weren't trying to trick me. They were just tricksters. I haven't let go yet. I haven't released them yet. I'm still holding on, and so I'm still having in part. But I'm growing in God at the same time, so I'm seeing miracle signs and wonders in my life. But at the same time, I'm not seeing the fullness of the miracle signs and wonders because there's still parts of me that just won't let go to the old parts of me that won't release everybody. And just say, I love everybody. I get it. They're all sick. I was sick. There ain't no problem. I get it now. Now I'm sent to be the healer. Now, and glory. So I don't see in front.
Glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Are we receiving this?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I stop seeing them in part. I don't see partially. That's what he's talking about. You see in partials. Tell me none way. When I was a child, then he goes on to say this, and I'll finish it up. When I was a child, and that's what he's talking about. I've been seeing in part because I'm still a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought like a child. But when I became a man and stopped seeing partially because I began to understand this is a spiritual war, it's about souls. It ain't about love. It ain't about who's my best friend. It ain't about who shows up when I throw a party no more. It's about whether I can show up and take them to the main party. It's the one with Jesus that's the party. That's the place where you go and you can get high and you don't have a hangover. That's the place.
Oh, talk about it.
Yes.
Lord.
That's the place that you can get drunk in the spirit and you don't get a ticket for driving your car home. That's the place. See, I don't have to be upset about who don't come and like me on Facebook or Instagram me or want me to see their reels anymore. And I got to get them to see my reels. And did y'all see me with them glasses on when I was driving my car and how cool I was and so forth and so on? Because that ain't agape. That's some other kind of love that's needed. And God is saying, when you get there, you won't see in part anymore. You'll know Facebook ain't nothing but a Facebook. You won't see in part anymore. You'll recognize that you got all the attention of everybody because that agape will draw them properly to you. They won't be drawn because of your clothing, your car.
Yeah.
They won't be drawn because you got money. They won't even know if you got any money. You won't care if they know that you ain't got none or whether you do have some. What they will know is when I go around Angela, when I go around Hawanda, when I go around Lottie, when I go around Artina, and when I go around Dewan, I feel so much better.
Glory.
They got a party going on, and every time I go around them, the party just gets started. I feel good. I feel like I can climb mountains after I leave from around them. They said some stuff to me. They said, ooh.
Glory, glory, glory.
And that's what Paul's talking about. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood like a child, I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away all those childish things. But now, watch what he said, because he's talking about this whole vision comes to pass. But now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Now, I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am now known. In other words, your real popularity will come when you start using agape in order to test out, move out, switch out, change out people's minds, and you start using agape, you start getting the reputation because people can say, honestly, every time I go around Angela, man, she has words for me. Every time I see Hawanda, she says something. I know I can make it now.
Come on.
Now, God gives you a real reputation. Now you're known. And so he then goes on and says, so in order to be known, watch this, verse 13. He says, of all these three things, abides faith, great gift, hope, great gift, and love. He said, but of these three, the greatest of them is agape.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Everybody get it?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are somebody special. You are special. Tell somebody on the phone you're special. You don't have to see them. Just tell them. Speak it.
You're special. Hey, all y'all special. You're special.
You are special.
You're special. Thank you. I receive it. See, I receive it. You're special. You got to know that. It doesn't mean you big-headed special.
Right.
It just means God saw something in you that nobody else saw. He knew something about you that nobody else knows. And sometimes we don't even know it ourselves. But as you mature, and I'm speaking into all of you all's life right now, you're going to save lives and you are going to save souls. God is telling me to tell you, I am prophesying. I'm telling you, you're going to change something. You're going to change what the canker worm has stolen from you. You're going to take back what the enemy took from you. You're going to bring back healing and health into your family. You're going to bring back wealth and esteem into your household. You're going to have people following behind you in your shadow, just like Peter did. And as they walked in his shadow, they got healed. And all it means is that if you do it right, they will follow you right into the kingdom. You go see them get healed behind you. I'm speaking that into your life. You can do this.
I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory.
Does anybody else receive it? Everybody else is as quiet as a church mouse. Oh my goodness. It's like, ooh. Let's close out. We have any closing thoughts at 6:55. Closing thoughts. Does everybody receive that? Do you get it?
Yes.
You understand what?
Yes.
All right. Closing thoughts of what you just learned tonight.
So, Pastor, I have to say that it's something where you do it all the time yourself. Already,
what's that?
You love people unconditionally. You love them. Like I feel like I can go out in the world. I do go out in the world, and I can hug people, and I'd be like, "I love you." You know what I'm saying? Because I think that sometimes people just need to know that they are loved. I have them laugh at me because I do that. They be like, "Stop doing that! You can't." I told them I love everybody. I love for you who you are. And I can give that. I might not have much, but I will give it to you. I'm not a person afraid to tell you I love you. Like I love everybody that's on this phone call tonight. I love you.
Hallelujah.
Can I add to that too, Pastor?
Will you please?
And, you know, just hearing you guys talk and, you know, Pastor, touching base on, you know, being an ambassador for God, that's very important because sometimes you don't realize that a lot of people are watching you. And when you are being that ambassador, sometimes you're the only Christ that they're ever going to see in their lives. And by you showing that could just turn their whole lives around and you possibly saved a soul and didn't even realize it just because you were showing that agape love towards everyone. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going
to say something. I'm going to say something that I just heard in the spirit, and I encountered this today. I was talking to a loved one, and a loved one was saying, "You got to show them the love of Christ." Yes, we must show people the love of Christ, but also we must do it in wisdom, because a lot of people are out here showing people the love of Christ. And people are sending people straight to hell because they think that God is only loving and all that other stuff. And we're supposed to love, even if you're committing sin right in front of our faces and we're not saying anything about it because we're showing you the love of Christ. A lot of people are being bamboozled. And when they said that, I didn't even know how to even react to that, because if you know somebody is committing sin, but yet you're loving them. Oh, I love you with the love of Christ, which you're supposed to. But yet you're not sitting up there doing any correction. That's a form of love, too, from Christ, how we are supposed to love one another. It's supposed to be correction. Because a lot of people are out here and these churches are teaching you're supposed to love your neighbor, love with the love of Christ and all that other stuff, but never correcting. And people are just thinking that they're believing the correct way and can't nobody tell them nothing, because that's the easy route. That's the easy way. I can see somebody who's feeling all the time and they're in the ministry. I love you with the love of Christ, But yet I don't tell them, hey, you know, you're not supposed, we shouldn't be doing that as believers and da, 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 da. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the easy route. So everybody wants to take that route. I love everybody. Everything is a bed of roses every single day, this, 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 and that. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you for sharing that. That's powerful. Let's talk about that for a minute, though, before we go to the next person. But please have your thoughts ready. So let's talk about that for a minute. The reason that God wants us to show agape is because of this purpose. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so if I go in and try to correct you and you don't know I care about you, that becomes judgment to them. And they're turned off and they turn away.
Yes.
But if I've shown you agape and it was sincere, then they will allow the correction. Why? Because they know you're doing it for them, not trying to say you're better than them. So they were right, but there's some, and that's why the wisdom has to be there. They're right, but there has to be wisdom in it, right? Here's a great example of it. Somebody called me today and said, hey, you know, I was over here doing this, and I happened to be going past the house. I saw some people. I know the people. They happen to be the niece of a pastor here in Madison, and I saw them, and this was a male, and the person told me, says, and I asked her, did she have a man? And she said, no, and he said, my response was, oh, okay, well, that's good, because, you know, it's good to see some young people serving God and not worried about having relationships and so forth and so on. The person went on about his business. The other person went on about her business. But 3 or 4 days later, he ran into that child's mother, and the child's mother said, why were you talking to my daughter like that? Right? He was trying to say, you know, I'm glad you did, but he said it all the wrong way. If he'd have started the conversation off by saying, you know, I'm this person, and that, you know, and I'm really trying to understand young people's outlook on relationships that have a relationship with God. Are you able to stay celibate, or do you have a relationship, or do you even mind talking about it? Because that's personal business.
Mm-hmm.
That's that person's personal business. I was in a church for a period of time, about a year or two. While I was in that church, there was this keyboard player, and the guy was amazing. But if you walked up close to him, you could smell the alcohol reeking off of him. I wasn't the pastor of the church. I was a member of the church. Was it my responsibility to tell them that? Or is it wiser for me to say, that's something that person in God needs to work out.
It says, work out your own soul salvation, and that with fear and trembling.
Yes, ma'am. So there is a weight, and you're absolutely right, because real correction, right, when people know you love them, yeah, there has to be correction. I'm not going to let my kid walk in a house and just start tearing up stuff and not say anything. Because I'm just going to be agape'd all over the place. Oh, tear it up over here too, son, because I just love you.
I'm showing you the love of Christ.
Are you crazy? No, no.
Don't thank
but
them.
But there's a relationship there that I can broach certain subjects with.
Yeah.
And so the agape is so that people will know, like I said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? And so if I walk over to Latif's house and I walk in, and yes, I know Bridget and Bridget knows me. But I go into Bridget, if I go into Latif's house and I start going, Bridget, you need to clean up, girl. I don't see why you're not, you know, that's ungodly, Bridget, so forth and so. Bridget is going to kick me out.
Yeah, real quick.
Can't come back no more. You can't
come back up in here, right? Who do you think you are? Wait a minute. What if I walked into the same house and said, hey, Bridget, and Bridget says, you know, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. Latif seems to be mad at me, and this seems to be happening, and so forth and so on. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't see. Can you help me with that? Now you've given me permission. to work on that.
That's all right.
So watch where I'm getting ready to go. So the answer is yes, we must have correction. But in that correction, we also have to ask the person, do they know they're doing anything wrong yet?
Exactly.
Because if I don't think it's wrong, it's not correction coming from out of your mouth. That's judgment. Who do you think you are? Ain't nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Something wrong with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You go to church. I don't read that. Do all that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Right.
Next person. Mm-hmm. Closing thoughts. Thank you, Angela.
Yes,
yeah. That's a very, very poignant point. Go ahead. Anybody else before we close?
Somebody else speaking, you can go ahead.
Hey, Pastor, that is platform every Wednesday to get on here and talk godly stuff. Jesus stuff, yes. Yeah, every darn week, yep. And I love it.
Yeah, every week. Yeah, God just does something, yep. Thank you, Dewan. Yep. Every week, God just moves, and I so thank him for that. In fact, he moves so mightily today. I can tell you when I came on the line tonight, I was tired. I didn't get nearly as much sleep as I should have. And I was tired. Like, I was yawning and everything else. But you all gave me energy. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost showed up. Hey, glory.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Go ahead.
I had just wanted to share about Bible study or our life study is that we're talking about love, and he do say love covers a multitude of faults. And sometimes I had said it before, we have to love the hell out of some people. You know, they may have hell in, but if we continue to love them, they start to question the enemy, like, you know, and start looking to Yah, like, you know, I did this, and this to that person, and they still haven't treated me unkind. Mm-hmm. But it also, this is the chapter that shows us how we show that we're different from the world. Because if we handle the matters the same way that the world do, love people with conditions. If you do this and this for me, I love you. And, you know, we can be friends. But if you don't, I don't love you no more. These are the standards of love that we should go by to show that we're different from the world. And it is a process. And then also what I've gleaned from the word is talking about, like, being boastful in yourself, you know, when you go into talking about the gifts, or I can do this or I can do that. And,
yes, ma'am.
But it says that we're not supposed to boast in ourselves, that other men will see our work and they will be the one to, you know, lift you up or edify you. And that's really what happened at Bible study yesterday at the JRC. Another thing that happened is that the kids had did a Bible study of their own before we even got there, but they never opened their mouth and said it. The staff person did it, and it was coming up in the word too as well, and they was just amazed to see how Holy Spirit worked, that they didn't even have a speech of it, that the staff person came in and was like, they didn't tell y'all, but they had their own Bible study, right? And they were still thirsty for us when they came. They didn't feel like they had enough because they did their own.
God.
So it was like they didn't have to open their mouth. The staff their good work, the good works that was working through them, and he's the one that spoke about it.
Look at God. Yes, ma'am. And you said something very important. Romans 2:4, I read it to you. It says, do you not know that it is the richness of God's goodness and tolerance and patience, not realizing that the goodness of God is what led people to the repentance?
That's right.
You are his ambassador. He uses you used. He'll use you to be used, but it'll be being used, and how you carry yourself. Because if you regurgitate and run around and lose your mind and sit back and go, oh, how could you treat me so much? And you do all that funny stuff. That's why I said when all that's happening, that is because that's you that's doing it. It ain't God.
Exactly.
God does it. You can take the hit, because that's why he gave you the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, loins girded with truth. You can take the hit and keep going. And you don't fall apart every time somebody kind of mistreats you a little bit or doesn't go along with you on everything, doesn't quite agree with you when you really want agreement. You don't fall apart like that no more. And then here's the funny part. They may not get better now, but let them leave you. Please hear what I'm saying. Let them leave you and go out and get somebody else, and they begin to realize this person don't do that for me. This person ain't praying for me. This person didn't sit back and know how to adjust themselves a little bit so I could have space to be me until I got better. This person, and then all of a sudden they're pushing that person away and they're on the phone calling you going, can we get back together? Because it's the goodness of God. They begin to see, I messed up a good thing. I messed up a good thing. Ain't nobody acting like this person is acting. Nobody take my children on and take their children on and take on this problem and these bills for me and took on that for me and didn't complain, moan, and groan. Didn't use it as a weapon over my head telling me I'm paying all the bills and I'm this. Know ye not that it is the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. And if you ever want to see somebody that gets used, try being a pastor.
Just try being, like you said, to walk with God. Because when you when you do that, you do be used. And you don't have to be a pastor. You can be used. Because people will take from you. But you have to be strong enough to give and know that when if it's hurting you or doing something to you, pray about it. I pray about my life all the time. I've always been a giver. And I don't regret not one day of me giving something. Because my grandmama used to say, if you give something, do not expect anything in return. And if you give it, you must be able to give it. Don't look for it back. So I don't look for it back. I just give. I give from my heart.
And that's as Matthew 6 from Bible study yesterday was just saying, give it in secret, you know, and I just kept on gleaning that word, how he want us to move in silence, to not be seen, you know, not let your left hand, right hand know what your left hand is doing.
Left hand is doing, that's right.
When it comes to his people, because people, you know, I was just even talking about, you know, how people be on TikTok and social media and they feeding the homeless. You're doing the good deed, but it don't line up with the word.
That's right. Because
it don't line up with the word because they want it seen and they getting accolades and likes. And he said, no, what you do in secret, I reward you openly.
And God is always good to me. Always. He is amazing. I never needed to go out and tell anybody what I've done, what happened, none of that.
That's right.
He is amazing.
That's right.
He has been good to
That's
me.
Right.
I am not rich, but he is good to me every day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He ain't failed yet, has he?
Not now. My car got repoed, and the next day I got another car.
Come on.
That's what I'm talking about. See, there's nothing, nobody can steal anything that God gave you.
That's right.
So,
there you go.
On.
They really can't. They can't break it. They can't take it. They can't reshape it and remake it. It's God. That's how in the world you're going to take what God gave me. You can walk off with it, but somehow it's going to come right back.
That's right. There you go. It comes right back.
And he might have this. He might give
and
us.
And it might come back better.
A mind is tailor made to me, like it was talking about the gifts in 12. You might have the same gift, but he used us differently with the same gift. So be okay with the gift that he's given you and the way he used you.
Hallelujah.
Because
we different. Yes, Lord. Yes, thank you. Amen.
Amen. We have some powerful closing thoughts tonight. Glory to God. Anybody else before we close out? Anyone else?
I just want to add to.
Yes, sir. I knew it was coming. Come on.
Yeah, there's just one more thing. And, you know, I feel like what I've learned too, you know, when you're getting in that position where you need to correct someone, I feel like a gentle rebuke is always good instead of coming out really strongly, you know. So I just feel like that's one of the most important things when it comes to correcting someone, you know, because especially when you understand what that person has been through and you have that empathy and that sympathy for them, there ain't really no other way you can do it. You know, you can't do it in an aggressive way. I feel like if you're doing it aggressively, you don't understand. But I feel like when you do understand, you know how to, like, move with, you know, gentleness. So just wanted to add that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Latif.
Yes, sir.
I think we have had a wonderful Bible study. If you need to go back and listen to it, it is on the website. So you can go to the website and get any Bible study that we've had, and you can go back and get the records and listen to them. Mm-hmm. You can examine them. You can go over comments again and so forth and so on. So I'm going to ask Sister Angela if you would be kind enough to close us out in prayer tonight.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible study tonight. We thank you each and every one that is in our Bible study, and we thank you for the ones that wanted to come but couldn't come. Yeah. Father God, I thank you right now for all of the wisdom. I thank you for the feast that was placed on the table, on our plates, Father God. I pray that each heart was open and ready to receive your powerful word.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for our pastor tonight. Father God, and giving him the strength to go forward and to do your will. Father God, we thank you for allowing for God to use him, Father God. We thank you right now in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm not done yet.
All right.
I'm learning, y'all. I'm learning. Hold on. And Father God, I ask you right now to please bless each and every one of us with a great ending to our week and a beautiful weekend, Father God.
Yes.
Father God, I ask you right now to just let all of us feel your peace tonight so we can chew on the wisdom that we received today.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Love you guys.
Amen.
Have a beautiful week.
Love you all.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. See, you just prophesied. That's prophecy. Speak it in, and you'll see it begin to come. Speak it in. Speak it in. Mm-hmm. You could just as easily say you're going to be the most awesome wife. It might be a year from now, 2 years from now, but you're going to be the most awesome wife. I already see it in you. I know it's coming.
Glory,
you can speak
glory.
In. You're going to be, man, I can't wait, boy. You're going to be the greatest son on the planet. Glory to God.
Amen.
I can't wait till God get through with what he's doing with us. And you're going to be good. This is going to happen. You know what, daughter? You wayward right now, but I know I got a God that said that when he's done with all this, you're going to find him, know him, love him, and see him, and he's going to see you, and great things are going to come out of you. You don't have to believe the report you
see. I'm
ready
to put it to work
you
right
can create
now.
Prophecy to bring reports out.
Right.
Change the report card.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Change the report card.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. Love you all with the love of Christ.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good
night.